Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for finding us. Welcome to another episode of Drama with Connor and Dylan. I'm Connor, and I am so happy that you're listening to today's episode. It's such a good one. You're going to absolutely love it. Before you listen, I want to tell you to do two things, which is more things than I can be counted on to do at any given time. But I ask you to multitask for your favorite twins. Okay, so if you like the pod, please subscribe wherever you listen to it and then give us a great review. Tell us you love us. It's very rom-com moment, like confessional at the end, you know? And then I would love, love, love you even more if you became a subscriber of our Patreon, Drama Plus, where every month we give you bonus episodes and you also get added to our Instagram close friends. So that's patreon.com/thedramapodcast. And you get to support the pod so we can keep bringing you amazing episodes like today's. All right. Thank you so much. On to the show.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. It's a cozy, rainy Pride Friday in New York City. And as our listeners can probably tell by the lack of a delay in the Wi-Fi, we're together.
I know. Fun as hell. We've already been having an amazing but long Pride month.
Yes.
I feel like I always get to this point. By the time I get to New York Pride, I am run through.
I know. It's like, you know, like I might have planned out some great outfits, but maybe I'll just go with the comfortable ones that backups and things like that.
Completely hear you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, last night we did something really fun.
It was so fun.
Trixie Mattel DJ'd this pink disco at Pier 17.
Yeah, which I loved. It was like a rooftop, kind of felt like a concert in many ways.
I think they do have concerts there. I think I'm seeing Carly Rae Jepsen there.
Oh, that'll be fun. August. That's a perfect venue for that. It was so much fun. But the highlight for me of the night was when Katya came out.
Legendary.
And did a lip sync dance number to Padam Padam by Kylie Minogue.
Which is the song of the summer.
You think you're tired of it. And then when you hear it in a venue with hundreds of gays and queers, you all of a sudden are like, oh yeah, like this is why we do what we do. Like, even if you're not like a club kind of person, in that moment, it's community.
It's
It reminds me of when last Pride, Break My Soul, came out.
Oh,
and it played because it came out ahead of the album in July.
Yeah.
I'll never forget hearing it at Rise for Pride. And the club went up. Like, that's the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Ugh, that was a fun Pride. Mm-hmm. This one's been really fun, too.
Yes.
And you saw a few shows this week.
I did. I might save that for the Patreon or recording another episode while I'm with you in town. But yeah, saw Once Upon a One More Time, which officially opened last night. A lot of people were torn on it, but you know what I said? I said, we need fun. We need fun. And shows that are heartwarming and heartfelt. And we've had this last Broadway season. I mean, look at the shows, all the shows that were nominated for Best Musical. I mean, they were all fun.
Totally.
Kimbo's a little bittersweet. But like, other than that.
For sure. Well, I guess, I mean, it's drama that they got good reviews because I was expecting them to be eviscerated.
I know. Well, the times can be very cruel.
Yeah.
It wasn't cruel to the show that our guest is in today, though.
Love.
It was a delightful review that in the moment where I'm like, oh, I don't care about reviews, in this moment I did because I was thrilled.
And it's no secret to our listeners that we're obsessed with Andrew Liet.
And they've been asking us to get literally every single cast member. And so when we heard this person was down, it felt like the perfect.
I know.
You know.
We are truly, truly so excited.
Our guest today is the fresh-faced shooting star of Anne Juliet on Broadway, where he portrays the heartthrob Romeo in a twist on a classic Shakespeare play. Making his Broadway debut, this performer has been belting the pop hits of Max Martin out 8 times a week since the show opened last fall. You just might recognize our guest from his television appearances on Honor Society on Paramount Plus, Orange is the New Black, and Evil. This University of Michigan alumni has performed in the prestigious Connecticut Repertory Theater, Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera, and even workshops directed by legends Liesl Tommy and Michael Greif. His original EP of music entitled Anglerfish is available now wherever you stream fine music, including its lead single, Ohio. This guest is a true role model, modern matinee idol, and star truly on the rise. Please welcome to Drama, Ben Jackson Walker.
Oh my God, that was incredible.
Do you have Padam Padam stuck in your head now?
I do, but you know what's funny? I didn't know of that song until maybe like a week ago.
Wow.
It's fresh.
Which I don't know how it got past me, truly, but I think I was at Broadway Bears and they were playing it, or they made a joke how like, oh, it's too early in the night to play Padam Padam, turn it off. And then I listened to it and now I can't stop listening to it.
That's fair. I've never been to Broadway Bears, but it's always been on my bucket list. Yeah. How was
it? It was amazing. I've never been either. So that was my first time.
Did you perform?
No. I wish. me and my partner were there, and he wants to do it next year. I think he should. It looks like so much fun. But like they were like swinging on trapeze and like doing Cirque du Soleil stuff. And I mean, I like to dance, but I don't know if I can dance like that.
You dance in Anne Juliet, though.
Yeah, I do a little pop and lock and. Yeah. But you know,
and jam and break, and you know, all
yeah, jam and break. Is it even legal?
Yeah. Oh, he knows.
He knows. Back to the text.
Well, that's so fun. We, of course, will talk to you about your partner and many other things throughout this podcast. But how is your Pride Month? Are you well?
I'm pretty well. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of allergies going around, so that kind of stinks. I'm definitely feeling a little bit of that. That just kind of comes with the territory this year. Yeah, but no, I'm so excited for Pride, and we have a show on Sunday, but you can celebrate a little bit after the show, which will be fun.
I feel like that'll be a celebratory performance on Sunday.
Yes, it absolutely will be. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to be doing specifically Anne Juliet on Pride. That feels right to mm-hmm. me. I'm glad I signed up.
Are you having fun in the show?
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's so much fun, and it's funny because they just told us yesterday that was like, I think, the anniversary of our first performance in Toronto.
Oh.
We've officially been doing performances for like a whole year now, and I've never, ever done a long run like this. And so that was kind of one of the most intimidating things going into it, because I was like, how am I going to do this like that many times and keep it fresh and keep the energy up? And I found like even in the last few weeks, like there's always something new that happens, or even if something goes awry or somebody new is on for a different track, like there's always, especially with this show, it's something, you know, we've kind of got it down to a science of like the rhythm of it, but it's really, really fun when people play with it slightly, or somebody makes a choice, because everyone on stage knows, oh, that's a little different. Yeah. What's going on here? It's really, really fun. There's what our director once said, there's beauty in repetition. And at first I was kind of, we'll see. But I think there is. I actually really think there is.
That's cool. I never heard that before either. I have heard of people who are in long runs, like Rory O'Malley. Mm-hmm. He was in Hamilton forever as mm-hmm. King George, and he was in Book of Mormon forever. And he talked about there's this like experience of entering the white room. Have you ever heard of this before?
Have I? Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. That sounds terrifying to me.
It is. It is. That's the more terrifying side of it, I think, because that had never happened to me until maybe like, I don't know if it was a month or two ago. It happened twice, kind of in the span of like 2 weeks. But the one that's really funny is I have a cue line for going into Since You've Been Gone. I have a line where I'm talking to Benvolio, and everyone is, you know, I won't give away too much, but basically everyone is in on the fact that Juliet has moved on and my character Romeo has just come back, and I'm not clued into that fact yet. And so I'm talking to Benvolio. I'm supposed to say, you know, you need to chill, Benvolio. I just got married to Juliet. It's all good. And I looked right at the person who's playing Benvolio, and it completely left my mind what I was supposed to say. And I just went to the white room, and it's, you kind of start to panic. And like the fact that you have forgotten makes it so that you can't remember anything.
Right.
So I just made up, I think I, they had a recording of it, the sound people pulled a recording of it. And I basically go, no, no, we're going to be just fine. It's all good. And someone started yelling to me my line on the stage, and you just hear me go, hmm? And then they just start the song. It was a lost cause.
There was my God.
No way I was gonna get it at that point.
Wait, that's so funny. When did you like come to?
During during that song, I was pretty shaken up and like, oh my God, what's my next line? Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of when that happens, you know, you need a little reset because you've kind of thrown off the rhythm. But I think by the next scene, I was fine. I was like, okay, I'm going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, I'm so curious about that whole thing because your character is off stage the majority of the first act,
that's
right?
That's true.
You appear during a number, right? Or yes. In the back.
I appear in ghost-like fashion during maybe one more time. I don't come back until the end of act one.
Which is so cool to me. I love the idea of a character who's spoken about and then finally appears like after a long time. Yeah. Like there's that trick like in Hairspray, how Motormouth Maybelle doesn't appear until like the end of act one. And it's like the show changes its course yeah. forever. And obviously that's what happens with Romeo. Yeah. What are you doing during act one?
I was going to ask the same thing, Dylan.
Yeah. It's morphed again, like as the run has gone on, but in Toronto, I think because it was still so new, I would just sit back there in like total anxiety, like trying to find something to do. And I would try to like meditate or like, you know, really listen to the show and just really try to be in it. But I kind of found that like, since I'm really not a part of it, it just would make me more nervous and make me more anxious. And so I've found ways of distracting myself. And so I do a lot of puzzles. I don't know how many I've done at this point, but I've, you know, puzzle glue and glued them all together and hung them on my wall, which is fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I really like making playlists of music. I've made a lot of playlists. Whenever somebody is backstage, like any swings that aren't on stage, I'll go and I'll hang out with them or I'll watch a TV show. But I try to do things that are not sitting and being on my phone because that is mm-hmm. kind of the trap. And that is one thing that I find if I do that, for all of act one, I'm a little, you know, lethargic going into my big entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting. Are you a nervous performer in general?
No, I don't think, I wouldn't say like I'm more nervous. I think, I don't know. It's something about this show. And I think because especially Romeo is so shot out of a cannon, you know, it was like nothing I've really ever experienced. And it's, you know, it's basically the biggest song I sing in the show. It's the first thing. And so, you know, you kind of like have all this like energy going into it of just being like, oh my God, I just want to do this number. And then I feel like I can do the rest of the show.
Yeah.
But no, I would say, and especially at this point, like, you know, we in the cast like have developed such like a fun rapport and everything like backstage and with the show and with each other on stage that like it's really, really grounding and we really feel very comfortable with each other.
You can tell watching it. Like there's such a great vibe. I mean, you went back and saw it. And
yeah,
said,
we saw it in like either right before you guys opened or right after you guys opened. And when did you guys, was it December or November?
We opened November 17th.
Oh, okay. So we saw you like right after y'all opened and obviously we were obsessed with it. But I went back in May.
Oh, okay.
It's really fun to see a show, obviously, when it first comes out, because like there's the buzz and everything. But then seeing a new show, you know, 5-6 months into the run,
mm-hmm.
y'all worked it out. It was amazing. And the audience was much more well-behaved that day than they were.
We saw Friday night in December, and it was rowdy.
Oh, yeah. It can get very rowdy, especially mm-hmm. around the holidays and, yeah, like a Friday, Saturday night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that I care that much about audience etiquette. I'm sounding like such a theater nerd, but
yeah.
Because the people in front of us had their arms in the air and were singing along, which is tough.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what happened, Ben. Okay. I was ready for Betsy to sing That's the Way It Is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for us, the people in front of us and behind us were singing along, you know, waving around like they had like fake lighters in their hands doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to hear her body that. And she did. But
yeah.
I didn't get as clear of a, like a...
She was a little upstaged.
She uh-huh. was. She was.
Which is hard to do with her, you know?
She did crush. She's
very
amazing. She's yeah. so good in the show. Oh my God.
She is. She's truly a masterclass in, you know, comedic timing and just, you know, having like one big foot in the truth at all times. And yeah, she's been amazing to work with and just learn from, truly.
I can't imagine. What about working with Star? Because I feel like you know, I see a young him in you at times.
Yeah. I love Stark. I love Stark so much. He's like, you know, the dad of the cast. He's our father, our collective father.
Aww.
happy pride. But
happy pride. I know, Daddy. I know, I was gonna say.
No, but I mean, like, he is truly the sweetest person ever, and has also just been like so supportive of me and everyone in the cast. I mean, we have, you know, 15 Broadway debuts cast. And so, you know, he and Betsy and Mel and Paolo, like, they are all just the best leaders of people who have just done that. And they've all had, you know, this, like, this breadth of work, and they've all had such different experiences, and they all bring kind of a very different perspective to doing this, to, like, take little bits and pieces from each and every one of them is, like, my favorite thing to do, you know?
Aww. I love that so much. What's your favorite moment in the show that you get to do every night?
That I get to do?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think it is the One More Try number.
I was hoping you were going to say.
Yeah. That's my favorite one, because that is a moment in the show. I think my character, I think every character in the show, like, you know, it's such a fun show. It's so comedic. It's very, very knowing to the audience. I do think my role in particular, you know, I've kind of practiced this whole thing of, you know, my character doesn't know that he's in a comedy. You know, it's very, very much like everything he thinks he's doing is the right thing, is the right choice. And I think that's kind of perfectly explained in that number, of where it's just, yes, he's kind of this ridiculous, privileged human being who is kind of had everything handed to him and had everything very easy. And this is kind of like the first time he's really ever had to fight for something and learn how to do that. And it's a really, really cool moment in the show, because you can feel the audience shift, and they're like, oh, wait, something very, like, real and honest is going on here. Hold up. And it gets very, very quiet, and you can, like, hear a pin drop by the end of the song. And it's really beautiful, and really beautiful to play with every night.
That's such a cool perspective, honestly. Like, and I wonder if that's why they had it be an original song moment, because you're not connecting to a song that maybe you have associated with a memory or something like that. It's new to experience, and Romeo's experience being new as well.
Yes. They didn't really have a song, I think, in, I don't know if it was London or Manchester, where they did Out of Town, where they just didn't quite have a song that quite fit the moment. And Max was like, oh, I'll write one. that was the one original song that he wrote for the show, and it's my favorite one.
It's so true. Good. It really is. Yeah. And the staging is really cool too.
Oh,
the,
it's epic.
The bench.
The carnival fun fair, you know, vibe of it, and it's,
Yeah, y'all were robbed of some design Tonys, that's for certain.
Definitely the orchestration's Tony too, by the way. Not to, like, get all awardsy, but
we're gay, okay? We talk about awards.
To take all of these well-known pop songs that hypothetically shouldn't work on a Broadway stage, blah blah blah, and to make them sound seamless, I mean, come on.
It's amazing. There's, like, a moment in Baby One More Time where I think I first heard the arrangement of it, Lorna singing it in the rehearsal room, and I was like, this, like, sounds like a moment in The Heights almost. there's a certain riff or vocalization that she does towards the end of the song that reminds me of something in The Heights, and I was like
In Breathe or something like that.
I think so. I can't remember what it is. Our orchestrator, who also worked on In The Heights, and so I'm like, okay. From different places, and it totally makes sense.
The ingredients are all there, and, you know, I keep saying, like, is the show's recipe right, and is the chef correct putting it all together, and Anne Juliet is totally one of those things, and that's why y'all are gonna run. I mean, it was such a hit in the UK too, but, like, on Broadway, I feel like it's perfectly in the right theater and everything. It's so, congrats to you. I'm curious how this came into your life, because this is your Broadway debut. I know that you're just a little younger than us. So how did this come into your life? Like, where did this all unfold for you?
I think it was like the first in-person audition I had after the pandemic. So I graduated from school in 2018. And so I was, you know, auditioning in the city for those first 2 years. And then the pandemic happened and I was away from the city for a bit. Me and my partner actually went to, like, this is a sidebar, we went to Hawaii for, like, 3 months, and we did a work trade thing where we homeschooled two little girls, which was crazy, but it was amazing.
Wait, that's amazing.
It was incredible. Yeah, we spent like a good chunk of time there.
You still talk to them?
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah. I'm hoping to go back at some point
Yeah.
for whenever my next vacation would be. I really want to go.
Were you there when they were filming White Lotus season one?
I don't know. I don't think they definitely weren't on the island I was on. We were on the Big Island, and I think they were like on, I don't know, Maui or something.
Oh, you sound like you're from the area, calling it
I know
the
the Yeah, so anyway, I was kind of like feeling very far removed from theater, and I had kind of been doing some like TV things here and there and was getting really, really into that because that's not really something I did in school or anything like that. And then this was, yeah, like the first kind of musical audition. And I hadn't done a musical since I graduated college. And I think I saw it, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I wrote it off as being like, oh, this part really isn't for me. I don't really see myself in this. But okay, like, let's do it. And I think something kind of like switched after the pandemic where I was like, you know, not trying to like bring myself to things as much as bring them to me. And just like, you know, I'm gonna do this version of this character in the way that, you know, I want to do it, not in any way that I've like envisioned it in my head or a way I've seen someone else do it. And so I was like, I'm just gonna go for it. And I think it really helped. I think it really paid off because I got a call back and I was like working with Luke Shepherd, our director, in the room, and we were trying a lot of different things and kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what stuck is something that really, really helped me and really loosened me up. And I was actually out in Vancouver shooting my first movie, which was Honor Society, when I had to do my final call back over Zoom in front of Max Martin and David Westreed, who wrote the book. And which was, I was like, I'm never gonna get this. I'm literally on Zoom. Like how are they gonna know that I can do this? But I did, luckily, before I left, get to go into the room one time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I remember I was like sitting in my hotel room, and I got the call from my agent and my manager, and they were like, you got it, and you're gonna make your Broadway debut. I was like,
And they're like, and you don't even have to leave Canada because we're gonna be do they're gonna be
right,
doing
you just like
a
fly right over to Toronto. Yeah, I remember that day was insane because I called everyone I loved, and I think I had a day off, so I just like went to the state park that's there in Vancouver and walked around and listened to music and cried and just like, I can't believe this.
Oh, that's such a beautiful way to commemorate that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Was it always your dream to be on Broadway?
Yeah, it was for a really long, I think ever since I was like 10 years old, that was kind of my dream. And it's cool too, because I kind of grew up, this might play into one of your segments
I
a
was
little
gonna
bit. I was,
say,
yeah,
I mean, I
Yeah.
guess I'll tee it up for you, but we
Sure,
asked all of our
sure.
guests about the moment that got them into the arts or the entertainment industry in general. Just we borrowed the term Ring of Keys from Fun Home because it's about like a little flicker of recognition where you really identified with the arts or theater in some way that felt bigger than just liking it. Like you were like, oh, I need to be a part of that. I need that in my
Yeah.
life. But do you feel like that happened when you were like 10 dreaming of Broadway?
Yeah, I think there were like two moments. Like I remember I was playing a little boy in Les Miserables at this group called Delaware Allstate Theater. I'm from Delaware, which yes, also Anna who's LA who's on your show. We went to high school.
Shout out.
It was this yeah, like this Allstate kind of theater group that was like choir, but it was for theater that this director I know started. And I was like the only little kid instructed to like stay awake during the Bring Him Home number. Like everyone else was supposed to be asleep at the barricade, resting up for the battle. And I was like the one that was like awake. And so while Jean Valjean like sung Bring Him Home to the audience, I just kind of like got to stare out. And it sounds very like sappy, but I remember in that moment like being like, whoa, this is like life mind altering. And it was very, very like electric just to like sit there and look out at the audience and be at peace on like a stage in front of like 1,000 people. I remember that was like the most exhilarating feeling. I wasn't even doing anything. I was just sitting there. And that's kind of amazing to me. And then I think kind of the other thing that ties into Anne Juliet for me is my uncle, when I was really little, showed me like Monty Python for the first time. And I remember watching that and being so interested in like that kind of comedy, that farcical, like slapstick comedy, and I'd never seen anything like it, and I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I would watch the videos over and over and over again. And it's something that has informed, like, you know, the kind of comedy I like to do and the way that I perform. And that's something, that kind of comedy is something that I do think is part of Anne Juliet.
Absolutely. So
it's something that, yeah, has always stayed with me since I first watched those videos and those sketches. But yeah. Oh,
so fun. Were you a Spamalot fan?
Weirdly enough, I don't think I've ever seen that show. And I should, because I love Monty Python.
But you will.
I know the music.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, you know. Ugh, maybe I can be in it one day. This will be my plug.
I know. A Lancelot or...
Yeah, sure. Anything.
And then how'd you end up at the University of Michigan? You know, we are from Ohio. We did go to Ohio State.
Oh.
And... You like us. We already won you over, Ben. You can't turn your back on us now.
I mean, listen, I am a gay musical theater student. I don't really care about sports much. Like, the fact... I know there's a rivalry with football. It's all good.
Okay. Thank you.
Put it behind us.
Thank you. Oh, I feel I'm relieved.
I ended up there. Well, actually, both my parents went to Michigan State, which is also kind of funny.
Did they meet there?
They met in grad school there. And I mean, that actually doesn't have anything to do with why I went there, but you know, it was a program I always really wanted to go to. It was definitely like that and Carnegie Mellon. I was like, oh, I would love to go to either one of those. Yeah, and I auditioned, and my dad drove me out for the audition, and I did it like on campus, and I remember being very kind of overwhelmed and intimidated by it first, because it's a big school, you know, it's like like football, top 10 football school or whatever it is. But I picked it, and at first when I got there, I was my first year was definitely like a huge adjustment, and was like, I was very overwhelmed. Definitely thought about like leaving at one point, because I was like, I don't know if this is for me. And then somewhere in my like sophomore year, I was like, okay, I think I made the right choice, because I've always had a difficult time with transitions. But so it was kind of like a really good learning lesson to kind of adapt to it.
Yeah, we're the same way.
Yeah,
I would
totally
say change is so hard, Ben.
Change is hard. Yeah, it is. Going from, you know, place to place, and going from Delaware, which is so tiny and such a small town, and then Michigan, which is like still not that big, but like way bigger than that. And then to New York, which is just like, you know, the biggest city there is. Mm-hmm. But.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Were you out in college? You were like, I was a gay musical theater student. So did you come out during, or was it before?
Yeah, I came out during. I came out my junior year. I actually went abroad. Which is, you know,
it's Cheetah Girls 2, it's
yeah,
Cheetah
exactly.
Girls 3.
It's kind of, I feel like it's a little cliche, but I remember before that being like, oh, I'm probably gay. And then going abroad and being like, okay, I'm definitely gay.
Where did you go? Where did you study?
I studied at RADA. And so I studied Shakespeare there. Michigan kind of has a program like in tandem with NYU that does the RADA program.
That's an interesting tie-in too for Anne Juliet.
You know, see, there's all these things. It is very interesting. But yeah, it was the best time in my life. And to kind of to come out there, to be in London, I mean, it was so much fun and so freeing. And then I came back to school and was like, oh, this is one of the biggest reasons why I was struggling so much in the beginning, because I just hadn't fully embraced myself yet.
Wow. Yeah.
Sometime. Yeah.
You have this song on your EP called Ohio.
Yes.
I get the vibe that it's about maybe being a little closeted at times.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it's about. It's actually, because I'm not, you know, I'm not from Ohio or anything like that.
Yeah. Why are you dragging us like that?
I'm sorry I had to drag you. It was to drag Ohio in a song.
It makes for a good title. Okay.
Yes. But it's actually, it's about a trip that I took my freshman year when I was really, really struggling. And my best friend from high school was going to school at Baldwin Wallace for musical theater. And I took a trip there, and it was something about being around like my closest friends again after, you know, struggling in Michigan, where I kind of was able to process what was going on in my head. And something about being there, I was like, I could just stay here forever. Like, it's literally, you know, it was a feeling of kind of being able to stay there and hide myself and just kind of like plateau and be that. It was very kind of like sad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was, I think, maybe the first time in my life I ever like processed that sadness and that pain and being like, there's a big change that needs to happen in my life. But I just couldn't at that time. But yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful song. And I mean, having been to BW and Berea and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the vibe of that area.
For
so
sure.
Well.
It was a dead of winter. Yeah. It was definitely a little depressing.
Who is your best? Are you still friends with him now?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. He's still one of my best friends ever. His name is Chandler Smith. Yeah. We like did our first show together, a musical version of The Hobbit. It was actually at that production of Les Mis where we kind of first became friends, and so
wait, that's cool.
Yeah,
were you Bilbo?
No, I was Frodo.
And then Lorna, who's obviously your co-star in Anne-Juliet, she also went to Michigan. Did your paths cross?
Kind of, not much, to be honest. She was sophomore year when I was a senior, and so that's kind of a weird year at Michigan where like the sophomores and the juniors and the freshmen, their paths really, really don't cross. And I think she kind of like had her own thing going on. And, you know, she was like, I think seeing someone who like lived in Detroit or whatever. So I didn't see her very much. And I remember like we had like one passing conversation where she always had a little rolly backpack. That's what I remember her.
How and cute.
On the halls. And I remember like meeting her for the first time, and she's so sweet. But kind of shy. And then we really didn't like get to know each other until we got this show. And I was like, oh my God, like, please tell me all about your life. And she is just like the sweetest, most like amazing, goofy person ever. And I remember there was like one time in Toronto where I was like having a hard time in tech, or like there was something that I just felt like I really wasn't getting, and I was feeling really upset. And remember, she just like took my hands and like twirled me around in a circle, and we were like dancing on stage, and I was like, you were just the best. She has this like light about her. Yeah.
I love that. And the voice, oh my God, she's crazy.
Insane. That was the thing. I had never heard her sing. I never heard her. She graduated a year early. And I went to that showcase, and that was the first time I heard her sing. And I was like, oh my God, where have you been?
Yeah. You knew she'd be a star, a Tony nominee.
Yes, absolutely.
You mentioned a partner a few times. We love to get into the love portion of theater pop culture and life on drama. Do you mind sharing anything about your gay love story?
Oh God, it is a good story, I will say. Yeah, so his name is Evan, and he's an actor too. He made his in Moulin Rouge. We met each other, I mean, we knew each other through like some mutual friends, and we actually had two mutual friends separate from each other who were like, you two need to like meet. I just have this feeling that you two need to meet. Our friend Leanne and our friend Mike, who directed us in two different shows. And separately, they didn't talk to each other, but they were both like, I feel like this is right. And I was like, okay. But like, I knew who he was. And I was like, oh, he seems really cute. And I was like, I think I DM'd him on Instagram, and he knew I was going to do that. And then this was our senior year of college, and he went to school at BoCo, Boston Conservatory, and I was at Michigan. And so we were like getting to know each other through Instagram and FaceTiming, and our FaceTimes would turn into like 3-hour FaceTimes. Oh. And then we planned to meet up in New York on our spring break. And so I was going to fly there from Atlanta, because I was in Atlanta with my friends for spring break. And there was huge storms that like literally stopped every flight going to the East Coast.
Drama.
Like, yeah, this is drama. I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to meet you. And we were both really sad. And then I was like sitting down, and I overheard these three older people talking, and they were like, oh, we're just going to have to drive it. And I was like, just out of curiosity, like, where are you driving to? And they're like, oh, we're actually driving to Delaware. And my mouth fell open, and I was like, wait, can I hitch a ride with you? These were three strangers. And they were like, they weren't exactly sure who I was at first. I think I lied and told them I was like going to see my parents, and I hadn't seen them in years.
That's a good excuse to be like, I need to get to, like, I'm a good boy.
Yeah. I wanted to stay, you know, I couldn't describe to them that I was just like head over heels in love with this person, this guy. And
my heart.
Yeah. And so I wanted the stakes to be high. So I was like, yeah, I need to see my parents. And I texted Evan and I was like, I hope you don't think I'm insane, but I'm hitching a ride with strangers. And he was like, no, that's amazing. And we drove 13 hours through the night, switching off. And then they dropped me off in Delaware. My mom picked me up. And then I got in the car and I drove to New York and we got to meet each other. And then,
oh my God. Was it sort of awkward at first?
Yeah. But like, we also kind of like, you know, knew it. We felt like we kind of already knew each other pretty well. Cause we've been talking and FaceTiming a lot. So it was very, very quickly, like, you know, this like connection that we knew was there. And then we kind of started, you know, dating like officially once we moved to the city and we're in the same place. And yeah.
And how many years has that been?
It's been 5 years.
Oh my gosh, congrats. Whoa.
Crazy.
That's so amazing. Oh my God, that's like from a movie.
That is a great story.
I know. I have to try to tell the like Reader's Digest version because it's a long story, but I tried to boil it.
We were on the edge of
a good point.
I was like, wait, I don't know if I'd trust these strangers who were driving me around in a car, but you believed in love and you had to do it.
Yeah. And they were very sweet strangers. They were like all in their 60s. And
I'm glad that y'all are still going strong. Have you written any music about him?
I have. Yeah. There's definitely some songs that are about him.
Because I mentioned the EP earlier, which is called Anglerfish. Yeah. What can you tell us about your original music?
That first EP I released is kind of about my journey with coming out. So there's actually not that many songs on that EP that are about Evan. I think there's one. You'll have to guess.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. It's beautiful. Yeah. By the way. I mean, it's a really, really gorgeous, like folky music. It's so good.
Yeah. I started writing more in the pandemic. I've been writing since like college, but I kind of started writing more in the pandemic. I picked up guitar. I didn't play guitar before this. And I really like writing on guitar. And so that's kind of what inspired me to do it more. And yeah, the anglerfish kind of like metaphor about it all is you know, the anglerfish is something in the ocean. It's the Finding Nemo one with the light that hangs out in front of it. It looks really scary.
Yeah.
But he uses that light to like, you know, find food. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, the metaphor is kind of like, you know, being gay and being in the closet and kind of, you know, swimming blind through this ocean and not being able to see anything, but having this light that kind of attracts people to you, you know, not like prey. That's
yeah, 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 yeah.
But that's how I use the metaphor. But yeah. And then, I actually have two songs that I have been working on and are done and I'm releasing, hopefully in a couple weeks. And so,
ooh,
two songs and gonna kind of release them for Pride. And yeah, I'm really excited.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's amazing. We'll definitely reshare on the drama page.
Yeah. I love that.
We appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're sadly wrapping up here, but we do, before we say goodbye, like to end on a dose of drama. It could be a recommendation you want to share with our listeners. It could be something you want to promote, rant about, rave about, something you've been binge watching. It could literally be anything. I'll go first.
Yeah, please do.
On the topic of new music, I have been listening to Kelly Clarkson's new album this morning.
Oh.
It is hit.
That's really fun.
Yes. Yes. It's called Chemistry.
Chemistry.
She's coming for it. She's, wow. I mean, her voice is beyond.
Oh, like, it's one of the best.
One of the best.
Have you met her, Ben?
I haven't, no.
No, okay.
I really hope she comes.
Yeah, because I know that there's that Since You've Been Gone duet version.
Yes, Lorna got to meet her because she went and did the Kelly Clarkson show. But she needs to come. She better.
She needs to. She's moving to New York.
So. Yeah, the show is moving here. Her Kelly Clarkson.
Right, I heard that.
I'm sure she'll do it. And she wants to be on Broadway.
She said like in an interview that a big part of why she's bringing the show here is because of Broadway.
Ooh, wow. I love that.
I wonder, she might be a good Anne Hathaway replacement.
Oh my God.
She can make her big Broadway debut.
I think that would be perfect.
That would be so good. Oh my God.
Yeah. I haven't even in my head started thinking about like incredible replacements for Anne Juliet down the line.
I know.
Because I'm just so obsessed with this original group.
Fun to think about.
Yeah, it's fun to think about for sure. I don't know. That'll have to be another, we'll talk about it on our Patreon.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. I love that. Any standout hits from her album though?
Well, she released a few ahead of time. And I always have this song called Mine stuck in my head. It's kind of giving Billie Eilish TBH, but with like soaring, roaring vocals.
Yeah. Well, have you heard the cover she did of Happier Than Ever?
Yes. Oh, it's so good. Maybe she was inspired.
Maybe. I'm sure.
Yeah. The karaoke of it all. It's amazing. It's so good. For sure. Anyway, Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I've been trying to think of one during this. My dose of drama.
Your tattoo looks navy, like green. Oh,
I have a, you can kind of see it. It says,
look like it's the same color.
Yeah. More life.
You see that it's from Angels in America. It's the last line.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any tattoos?
I don't, but that's really funny because the one tattoo I almost got was also an Angels in America quote.
What is it?
It was way too long, and that's why I didn't get it. But it's the one that I got. See, maybe it's good I didn't get it because now I can't remember it. You will find, my friend, that the things you love will take you places you never dreamed you'd go. That one. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Where would it go? A thigh, maybe? Like lower back?
I'm glad I didn't get it. I do. Yeah. I do want one. I really want, and hopefully soon, maybe after the show.
Ooh, you should get an ampersand for the for the Anne of it all.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Okay, so let me think. A dose of drama. You're like, have I ever had an original thought lately?
Let's see, I'm watching Love Island again. Under the Island.
Guys are so hot on this.
I know. Connor's never seen Love Island, but I've been watching it while I'm staying with him. And he's getting sucked in.
Either. I've seen like a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm. It is so good.
Yeah.
Let's see. My dose of drama is going to be this. Go see Titanic because, you know, with all of this submarine stuff going on, go see an incredible off-Broadway hit, Titanic.
I do really want to see that and I still haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God.
I hope you get the chance. It's really
good in it. You think it's hilarious, I think. Yeah. Knowing what you've said about your comedic sensibility.
I've heard nothing but amazing things.
Ben, do you have a dose of drama for us today?
I do. I actually thought of one during this. And you guys have heard of this, but it's a podcast. It's called Good Children.
No. Oh, wait. Okay. Is it those gays who are Brooklyn?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is those gays, in fact. Yes, it's called Good Children. It's a podcast that the gays in question are Andrew Muscarella and Joe Hedges. It's basically, you know, where they talk about growing up gay in Long Island. They're right around my age. I think they're 27. And it's kind of about like pop culture at the time and things that made them realize they were gay. And now, you know, it's grown so much and it's just turned into this amazing podcast. But I remember what really, really hooked me when I was listening to it was they had this whole segment about different kinds of girls growing up that were allies. And they were like the biggest ally of them all was the Hot Topic girl with a severe bob and that would call them out and call them gay, not with any like form of insult or anything like that, just like matter of factly like, oh, you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that is what happened to me. The first time anyone ever called me gay was a Hot Topic girl with a severe bob. It just that. It wasn't like, you know, derogatory in any way. Right. She was like, oh, you're gay, right? And no one had ever done that. I was like, what are you talking about?
That's hilarious.
Known for years after.
I can think of someone like that from our childhood
for sure.
Yeah, that is so relatable. It's insane. You think your life is so specific, and then
I know
you see things on social media or you hear a podcast and you're like, yeah. Oh, everyone else experienced that too.
Exactly. Wait, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. And like tears are streaming down my face because I thought it was so funny. And they actually came to Anne Juliet and I met them and we got a drink afterwards, and I was just that I'm so obsessed with them. I think you both would love them. They're so funny.
Okay, I'll definitely have to download.
You gotta check it out.
Okay,
I love that.
Thank you for the recommendation, man. You are such a doll. Thank you for this conversation today. It's always such a treat when someone that you really admire on stage is amazing off stage as well. So
thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Of course, and everyone needs to go see you and Anne Juliet. Everyone needs to follow you. Is it Ben J. Walker on Instagram?
Yeah. Ben J. Walker.
Okay.
Is that because there couldn't be two Ben Walkers?
You know, probably on Instagram. I mean, I had to change my equity name because there's already a Benjamin Walker.
Yeah, from American Psycho, right?
I've also worked with another Ben Walker. So there's many.
Yeah. Many I like the Jackson of it all. I think that's fun.
Yeah. The three names.
Yeah. Ben Jackson, if you're naughty or nasty. Anyways, thank you again for doing this with us, Ben. Happy Pride. We're looking forward to all of the music coming And of course, while everyone is following him, they should follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.